This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. One body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we reflect on God's word, let us pray together. Lord, we are grateful for the family you've given us, a family of faith, a spiritual family. And thank you that we can be together here in person or maybe online. But we are part of your body. And so we ask that as we await your word for us, that you will bless us now and that your spirit will work in us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me begin with a simple truth that cuts against almost everything our culture teaches us. You were not created to do life alone. And we live in a world, you know, that celebrates independence, right? Our nation was founded on the Declaration of Independence. And from a young age, we are taught, listen, be strong, you know, be self-sufficient, never need anyone. Frank Sinatra saying, "I did it my way," right? And for a while, I mean, that sounds good. It does. But the reality is the more independent we become, the more isolated and tired and lonely we often feel. And God looks at our loneliness and our burnout and our fear and our discouragement, and he says, "That's not how I designed you to live." He says, "My solution isn't more willpower. It isn't more success. It isn't building walls and keeping people at an arm's length. No, it's community. Community." So listen to these two verses from Romans chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others." It says we're one body in Christ, and we belong to one another. You need others, and others actually need you. And Jesus taught us how to be a family. And life works best when we live it together. Now, after worship today, we are having our annual congregational meeting, and we'll be hearing different reports about life at community church this past year. And I think it's a good time also then to focus on, well, what does it mean to be a family in Christ? And so I just want to share four simple reasons why we need each other and why community isn't really optional for spiritual growth. And so first of all, we need others to walk with us. The Bible often describes the Christian life as a walk. Life is a journey. You're always moving, you're always learning, you're always growing. And here's something we often miss. God never intended that walk to be a solo journey. And I know that some of us prefer, you know, walking alone. Because it feels easier. You know, we control the pace. We don't have to adjust to anybody else. When Annalise and I walked the Camino, it took some effort for us to actually stay together. Not as a couple, I mean, as we were walking, right? Because I tend to walk faster and she tends to walk a little slower. So ever so often, I had to slow down. She had to quicken her pace a little so we could stay together on this journey. And the thing is, when we walk alone, we lose something very important. But when we walk life with others, three things happen. First of all, it's safer. Ever walk through a dark alley in Manhattan by yourself? It's easier to walk with someone else. And life sometimes it gets dark. And when you walk alone, you're more vulnerable. But walking with others brings protection and wisdom. Second, it's supportive. Life is not a sprint, it's really a marathon. And there will be days when you feel, I want to quit. I one time in my life ran a half marathon, okay, and then I realized, well, this isn't for me. But I'd rather walk, right? And not just walk, I mean, I'd rather walk after a little white ball on a green fairway with some friends. In any case, just so you know, I prepared for that marathon. But I'd be honest, I never would have finished if I did not have two friends who ran it with me. Because many times I just wanted to give up, and they kept me going. They encouraged me and sometimes dragged me along. And it was because of them that I was able to finish. And there's an old Zambian proverb, and it says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. And the life that you live is really not a 50-yard dash, okay? It's a marathon. And you want to run far. And when you walk with others, they encourage you. And they remind you, I mean, why you started. And they help keep you going. And third, it's also, I mean, it's just smarter. Every one of us has things about ourselves that we cannot see. Things about ourselves that we do not know. Areas in which we need to grow. And there are things in your life that you can't see clearly, but others can. And so God uses community to guide you and to correct you if needed and to mature you. It says in Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him. So God does not want us all to be lonely. And that's why he gave us not just a physical family, but a spiritual family. the church. And this spiritual family is actually going to outlast your physical family. So we need others to walk with us. And real walking together doesn't happen in crowds. It happens in small and meaningful relationships. Because you see, community is God's answer to loneliness. Yes, the second thought I want to share with you. We also need others to work with us. God created you with a purpose. And he gave you certain gifts, and he gave you certain abilities and opportunities for a reason. He has good works planned for your life. God has made us what we are, and in Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. And that's called your ministry. And anytime you use your talents that God has given you to help other people or to help the church, that's called ministry. It's called service. It's helping the church. It's helping other people. But here's why so many people are exhausted, because they're trying to do everything alone. If you're constantly tired or overwhelmed or burned out, it may not be because you're doing too much. It may be because you're doing it by yourself. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. The Bible says two working together accomplish more than one alone. Because God never designed you to carry the load just by yourself. Can you imagine planning and executing an Apple festival all, you know, by yourself? What do you think it would be like if you alone are responsible for the coffee hour each week after each week? Or doing the brown bag Sunday food collection all by yourself, all on your own? So when everyone does a small part, the impact multiplies. Think about it. One snowflake doesn't stop traffic, but enough snowflakes together can shut down a city. And the same is true in the church. When we serve together, we make a difference together. And that's why community is God's answer to fatigue. So we need others to walk with us. We need others to work with us. Also, we need others to watch out for us. Let's be honest. I mean, we all have blind spots, right? And there are areas in your life where you're vulnerable. Even if you don't realize it. I mean, the Bible tells us to look out for one another, not just ourselves. And that means we need people who care enough to protect us and encourage us and speak truth into our lives. Philippians 2:4 says this, and look out for one another's interest, not just for your own. I mean, if you go on vacation this summer and you're gone for a week or a couple of weeks, you probably tell your neighbor or someone else, you know, I'm going to be away for a week or two. Would you please look out for my stuff? Because we want people to look out for our stuff, right? But there's also stuff that involves your soul. And life also includes spiritual battles, discouragement, temptation, fear, unresolved pain. I mean, they don't usually attack us head on. They creep in quietly. So do you have anyone who's looking out for your soul? Because you see, when we fight alone, we usually lose. The Bible says an enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. A rope that is woven of three strings is hard to break. One person alone can be defeated, but two or three standing together are strong. And that's why a spiritual community matters. Because your fellow believers provide accountability. And so here's a question worth asking. I mean, who is watching your back right now spiritually? And just as important, whose back are you watching? We need each other, and community is God's answer to defeat. And then finally, we need others to wait and to weep with us. You see, the truth is, sooner or later, every one of us will face pain. Loss will come, whether it's your job or your health or a loved one. Because loss is just, you know, it's just part of our lives. And bad news will arrive. And in those moments, no one should be alone. Because when life falls apart, people, you know, they don't need quick answers, or they don't need clever advice. They just need presence. Someone who will sit with them and pray with them and simply be there. I need people who are going to be there in the inevitable crises of life. So the Bible says, well, we should rejoice with those who rejoice. And we should be sad with those who are sad. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. And I tell you, that kind of care only happens in real relationships. And you don't need 100 people. You just need a few people who know you, who love you, who accept you for who you are, and who will show up when it matters most. And this is a place where you can form those kinds of relationships. Because community is God's answer to despair. And here's the bottom line. We need each other. We need people to walk with us through life. We need people to work with us. We need people to watch out for us and stand with us through life's ups and downs. And God's purposes are fulfilled not in isolation, but in relationship. Now, choosing community takes courage. Because it means opening your life, being known, and committing to others. But the reward is worth it. A stronger faith, deeper relationships, and a healthier life. And so let me just say plainly, I mean, you don't just want community, you need it. And someone else needs you as well. Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you for the body of Jesus. Thank you for a spiritual family, a community where we can walk together and work together and watch out for one another and weep with one another, so that we can all grow together spiritually and become more the people you created us to be. I pray that those who find it difficult to open up themselves and trust themselves to others in relationship, that your Spirit will make them feel welcome here at Community Church, that they will find that one or two or three people who they truly connect with, people who will be part of their spiritual family. So thank you for the church, and thank you for this church and giving us the opportunity to need one another. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.